Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
You're listening to Star Wars Hangout,
the best Star Wars Hangout in the galaxy. Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lutty.
And friends, we are back with The Mandalorian Episode 5, The Pirate.
Is that the name?
I think so. Pretty sure.
I couldn't find a name.
I mean, Gorian Shard is the guy we're at. Spoilers! By the way, full spoiler discussion here.
Oops. Oh, yeah, you're right. The Pirate.
The Pirate.
Not bad. Sometimes I'm like so amazed how much you remember.
Oh my wizard god. Let me tell you about all the things that I remember in this freaking episode.
Yeah, I'm still processing it. It was crazy.
It's unreal. Let's just go ahead and say that. The whole time, my reactions were, oh my god. How many times did we pause it? And I was like, I normally do like a straight watch through, but I like paused it and took a moment to take in certain things that were happening.
Yeah.
And to show you stuff that was going down. So we were both stoked, I think, out of our minds. Like, it was wild.
Would you crown this episode the best so far in the season?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it might be, just because the speeches were epic. The people who showed in, like who showed up in it, were really cool for me personally.
Yeah.
Last episode was sick in terms of like the big thing that we got with like Keller and Beck. That was really freaking cool.
Yeah.
And that I thought that was gonna be like the highlight of the season.
Yeah.
I thought that was gonna be like, oh my god, he's back.
Yeah.
And they showed us some epic, you know, moment there. But, and it is, it's still one of the best. But this episode, I think, tops it big time for me.
Yeah.
Big time. So, what were your thoughts and feels? Were you excited? Here's the thing. Are you not glad we watched Rebels before this all broke out? Because all the little things that you're enjoying now are like, I mean, so it's jaw-dropping. Like, episode one, the Purrgil. Like out in hyperspace, like the space whales, and you're like, I know what those are. I know what that means.
Yeah.
And you turn to me, you're like, Ezra Bridger, is this going to be what? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, yes. See, that's exactly what Star Wars wants, is that interconnective piece where there's mystery boxes, things are left unanswered, but over time we're going to answer those things,
and
we're also going to build the world out as we do it. So it was excellent. What'd you think?
Yeah, I love that they're dropping little hints on Rebels and, you know, Ezra, and hopefully Ezra will be back soon. I don't know if in The Mandalorian and Ahsoka, wherever we're going to see him, but seeing Zeb in this episode, and you told me this was the first time we see him in real life action.
Yeah. By the way, full spoilers now. I think I already said it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I try to give us. They're too excited. We're too excited. Yeah. So just know we're gonna start spoiling stuff. Here we go. Zeb's in it. It's crazy.
We get 30 seconds or something.
Yeah, he's walking up to Carson Teva. So Captain Teva, who I've told you before, like he keeps sort of pulling over. So he's this officer who I say pulling over, as if he's like an officer on the highway, and he pulls you over and he's like, hey, excuse me there. Saw you're going a little fast on the, galactic hyperspace lane there. But he's run across him a couple times. He knows Mando and he shows up, and we'll get into all that stuff later on. But it's just a quick moment where he's talking to him, and it's freaking wild.
He looks really good. And it's the same really voice actor. So we were like, not sure if it's the voice actor in that suit or, someone else. And he's just talking over.
Yeah. I wonder if
his voice to him.
Right. I don't know who. I need to look up who did it. Unfortunately, my computer is locked up with a secret mission that we're working on here in Adobe Premiere. You know, I'm Adobe One Kenobi, so it's like locked up, and I can't do all the searching. So we'll leave it to Lottie today to do some searching. But the voice actor, I wonder what he looks like, and I don't know if I've ever looked
Steve
him up.
Blum?
Steve Blum, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like, here, let me look at my phone because, goodness. Oh, Jesus.
This is so exciting.
Throwing stuff over
that's
here.
What
yeah.
It looks like.
Yeah. Okay. I have seen him before. Yes.
I don't know. Yeah.
And I did wonder, because I used to look up all the different like voice actors to see if they would come back and be able to like, you know, do they want to get in costume a little bit or play their characters to some degree, because you knew he was going to be animated and everything, but they sometimes have somebody in a suit with like those dots on their face, and I don't know how they, you know, what the whole deal was going to be. Even Ahmed Best, who plays Jar Jar Binks, like he wore a special suit with a high like hat on it that had Jar Jar's like face. So
yeah,
you know, it would just be, it's just cool to know that his voice is there, and you wonder. I can't wait till they drop like the behind the scenes reel where they show you how they did certain things. I love the making of stuff, but for right now I'm completely caught up in this world. So let's go over just a quick summary, and then we're gonna dive right into I'm losing my mind. Like we just finished it, by the way. I always like to tell people, like, you ever wonder why we do this so quickly and we don't really even process what we saw, it's initial reaction. It's just us watching it saying, okay, walk over to the microphones, plug in, sit down, let's go. The episode kind of, though, it starts off with, you know, we get this backstory on, we go back to Navarro. They do a really good job of catching you up in the preview, by the way, and telling you like, oh, this happened in the Book of Boba Fett, the Darksaber, who would lead the people. What happened to Moff Gideon? All those different things are coming back into play. But we go back to Navarro with the High Magistrate Greef Karga, who is, you know, we're trying to set up the city, move things around, had given Mando previously like a spot. Hey, if you want to come here, you can do your thing in this western, you know, part of the city.
Yeah.
And I've got some land there that needs developed. I would love for you to come in. Well, sure enough, they'll get that at the end of this episode. But they come under attack. Gorian Shard shows up there on Navarro again and is attacking them. So he sends out a distress signal, right? Calls for help. And it's actually Captain Teyva, who gets the distress signal.
Yeah.
He sends it to him because they've come across one another.
And this is a known character, you said.
Known character. He's been in a couple times. And if you don't rewatch Mandalorian over and over again, you might have missed this guy because he's in there for a hot second. He does a pursuit when they're taking Frog Lady. When Mando has Frog Lady and she's got all the different stuff in there, the reason they crash land is because he got in a chase. He tried to outrun Carson Teyva.
Okay.
And so it's also Dave Filoni's the other pilot with Carson a lot of times as well.
Yeah.
And they're flying around and it's, so that's where we've seen him before. But Greef Karga had a ranger of the New Republic in, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting? Cara Dune? What is her name? Oh my gosh, I totally blanked on her name. Anyway, she's the person who used to be in The Mandalorian and is no longer. But she was the New Republic officer, and he's now looking for a new... Yeah, Cara Dune. Yeah, absolutely. That's who it is. So here, I'll show you a picture of her. So let's see if you remember her.
Yeah.
Right, from Alderaan.
Yeah.
And she's out, and so they've been sort of without a ranger or an officer there. They're not really... They're an independent world. They're not... You know, not associated with the New Republic, haven't signed the charter. They keep talking about that, like this charter that would protect planets. They haven't done that. So anyway, he's invested in this. He knows something's going on. Navarro has been it was Moff Gideon's base for a while. There's been a Mandalorian covert there. There's been Imperial Remnant there. Now there are pirates there. So Carson is realizing something's up.
Yeah.
He's definitely sniffing something out here. And he goes for help, goes for aid. No aid is given. We even see Alia Kane show back up in this. So she's there in the same office where he goes to the colonel to kind of say, hey, can we get some aid for Navarro?
Yeah.
High Magistrate Greef Karga has said, like, we need some help. So when that's refused, he says, all right, fine. I'm going to go on my own. And before that, by the way, when he first gets the message, that's when you see Zeb. That's when you see Zeb and you see Dave Filoni and all the other directors sitting around the bar having a drink, which was amazing. But then you go, you caught this. I didn't catch this at all. When Carson is flying, he flies to a planet. I think he's going back to his base. He's not. He's actually going to the secret covert.
Yeah.
The secret Mandalorian covert. He knows. And it's freaking R5. R5 in their midst. Yeah. He's like, there is one among you who I fought in the rebellion with.
And I thought, is it Bo-Katan?
Me too, second. I totally forgot. And then little guy comes rolling down there, and I lost my mind.
He did.
I full on paused it, and I had to explain the backstory. Like, it was theorized back in the day that he was a part, like early days of Star Wars, people were theorizing he was a part of the rebellion, and he was sent there to spy, and all these different things, you know. So he had this backstory. He's gotten some comic time, and the fact that he went with, you know, we saw him with Palimato. He's still on Tatooine. That all made sense. And then, yeah, he had a mission. He was an informant of some degree, and he's kept up with Carson. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Believable. I loved it. And so that's how he figures out where the Mandalorians are at. And he said, hey, this is your friend. Boom. Why don't you help him out? I know you'll do the right thing, sort of. He gives him Greef Karga's message and Din makes his speech. So, yeah, he makes a speech to finish up the summary. Epic moments there, and then they go, they help Navarro save him, and it's all good. Yeah. So.
Was that a surprise to you that we came back to Navarro this episode? Mm. Did you expect it that we will come back at some point? Probably.
I thought, actually, it was going to go down differently. I thought, like, perhaps they would want to retake Mandalore, and they would go seek his help or his aid or something, because that seemed to be the way that this was going. I didn't realize that the pirate attack was going to happen. It's perfect the way they did the way this is come to be, because the attack happens, you bring back characters we saw in the beginning,
right?
And now Vane is still out there, somebody who we're gonna have to deal with later, but you go back and you help these people. They get a home. They're not in hiding anymore. They can go out, and as Din says, they can now, their children can play in the sunlight. And you were like, well, aren't they wearing helmets all the time? Like, just not like they need sunscreen. But yeah, it was cool. I was like, let the man speak. Let the man, he has the sacred hammer. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's allowed to speak, which I thought was funny, because he's holding the hammer. Anybody who wanted to speak had to hold the armor's
hammer. And that's her weapon when she was attacking later on.
Yes.
She doesn't use any guns, or you would say like modern technology.
Right.
She uses iron.
Yeah. She's the forge master, you know? Yeah. She is in there, and like even at the end of this episode, she says to Bo, like, "Do you respect my position? Who I am and my position in this covert, in this group?" That's the whole point, is that at the heart of their society are the armorers.
Yeah.
Those who clad them in armor and who forged their armor. They are at the heart of all of this, and they are like considered guides and almost like your spiritual, as we talked about last episode, like your Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean, they're kind of your guide by the side for that culture.
That was probably my second favorite moment, where she says, "Remove your helmet," and we're all like, what?
Yeah.
Nah. Is that a trap?
A trap?
Is that her? Like,
they're doing this again? This is a trap. So, but yeah, that ends up working out, which we'll get to in a sec. But yeah, that was a sick moment. No, we can bounce around. We're going to kind of bounce around all over the episode, because there's so many there's so many things to cover, you guys. Yeah. Like, I was so blown away by all this entire, from start to finish.
Yeah.
I was blown away by this episode.
It's a great episode because they tie everything together. You see how everything's now coming together, all the different stories.
This was a big, you're right, that's a good way to put it, because everything with previous seasons, with the New Republic and Navarro, where do they stand? Where do the Mandalorians stand? You knew that there was some awkwardness between, they had fought Greef Karga. They used to live on Navarro.
Yeah.
And these things didn't seem like people knew each other, that they were really connected. They didn't talk about it. They just sort of moved on. And now in what I'm going to call like the Armorer's Council or the Mandalorian Council, they discuss all of that. And Paz Vizsla is sort of like, he takes up the hammer and basically says, this man has fought to save a foundling, like one of the highest things that you can do, right? Yeah. To protect and save a foundling. That's why the covert all did what they did for Din. This is a foundling. He is that foundling's ward.
Yeah.
And so they fought Greef and they protected him. Greef has a change of heart, becomes a better person, sees a better, path forward. And it's great. It's people are allowed to change. And Greef is one of those guys who's been kind of, he worked with the bounty hunters. He's a businessman trying to make his way through the galaxy. He's not really, he's wanting prosperity and success and things like that. He reminds me of Lando Calrissian a little bit, just because they both were business oriented and they both create like this little colony or this little group of people that are independent. They're always wanting their independence from the Empire and things like that. So yeah, that was really cool just to see how all this is interconnected and to see it all come together. Because I was wondering, would we ever see Alia Kane again? And sure enough, she's in this freaking episode.
Yeah.
And she is in there sniffing around, trying to figure out what's going on. Who knows what about Moff Gideon? Where was he taken from? And yeah, that was wild, which we'll talk about here at the end. But other things that were kind of major. So Zeb was huge. And seeing that base where they were all were at, the directors, I mentioned it briefly, but Dave Filoni's right there with his hat. Deborah Chow is there. And I think one of the other directors is there, too. I didn't see his face, but
shocked.
Yeah,
you didn't even see his face. And you were like, that's Dave Filoni.
Absolutely.
I was like, how do you know?
Yeah. Well, and then I also saw what's easier to see is Deborah Chow's face. And so you can see her face pretty clearly. And I'm like, that's all the directors. He also would want to be there for the reveal of Zeb. You know, the fact that Zeb is showing up, cool. That's his character. And I thought, wow, this is wild.
Do we know where they're, like, which planet they're on? Where this tavern or whatever
I'd have to look it up. They said that they were on, Adalphi.
Okay.
That outpost, I'm guessing. See, I'm wondering if some of these things
I was wondering why Zeb is there. Did he go back in the end with to his home planet? Or not his home planet, but to his home
to his people?
Yeah.
his
people.
Lira San, I think he did go back there. And we know at the end of Rebels he did, but did he go there to stay? I think he went and stayed for some time. And then he and Agent Kallus, surely they join up with the Rebellion. Mm. You know, one of the characters I've been waiting to see show up, it might be like Agent Kallus.
Yeah.
Remember, because he was a double agent, he ends up working for the Rebels.
And I mean, they were, in the end, they were kind of thick as thieves.
Yeah, they were. They were.
Bonded.
So. Yeah, we'll have to look up that base. I'm not really sure about even how it's pronounced, but they were on some outpost, and it might be connected to Galaxy's Edge, too. I don't really know. That was new for me, and I just haven't kept up very well on it.
Oh, yeah. We just watched it, so.
Yeah, got to go do some more research on it. Anyway, so that was really neat to see him there with the directors, and I was mind-blowing. And every time I see Carson Teva, Captain Teva, and I want to say Teva, it's Teva. They kept saying Teva, so that's what I'm going to go with.
Mm-hmm.
He is awesome, and he has been a fan favorite. He's been one of my favorite characters because he's just this, I don't know. I don't know what his acting chops are. He's great. First of all, freaking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what he was in, but he was a big Star Wars fan, and they found out about it, and he also did some cosplay, and he had his own like suit, and he was, I think, a X-Wing pilot type of guy. I don't know. I could be wrong about that whole situation. I just remember reading some story about him back in the day when he first showed up. And he's been great. He's always been great. He's been teamed up with whenever Dave Filoni is an X-Wing pilot, he seems to be there with him as well, too. So it was cool to see all those guys working together on that
set.
They then go back, though, to Coruscant, essentially, and try to figure out, hey, can we get some help for these people? Mm-hmm. That's where we see Elia Kane and she is super mysterious. Let's just talk about her for a second because I'm wondering if she actually knows Moff Gideon escaped and is trying to get. Is she trying to get intel on who got him? Is she trying to protect him? Like, who is she working for?
Yeah.
Who is giving her the directive to take out Dr. Pershing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what is her directive and who would be giving that? Now, And I'm so glad I said what I said in the Michaela episode. When we had Magic by Michaela on, I said that she was like, you know, is it Gideon? And I thought, it's somebody bigger.
Yeah.
Because Gideon was in custody.
Yeah.
And they had him in full custody. So he's not in a position where he could have been giving out a lot of orders unless he got away. And I was like, well, okay, so if he got away, then perhaps he is still giving orders and some directives secretly in some regard. But at the end of this episode, it's revealed that the Mandalorians, and I'm thinking Bo-Katan's Mandalorians, those who were with her before, who didn't follow the way.
Right.
Right? She's going back to them to recruit them.
Yeah.
She's going to find out they've got Moff Gideon. Yeah. They hate him. Yeah. They hate him for what he did to their world. And so he never went and stood trial. And these Mandalorians, they went and they break him out. Because if you would have just left it at like, they're like someone broke them out, okay. It could be your Imperial Remnant. It could be a pirate group. It could be any of these other factions. But when they find the Beskar in there, right? So once the probe is sent in, which was really sick, by the way, that the astromech could like launch its little scope and go and probe the ship. Then you realize, okay, it is the Mandalorians, and that there's a reason they would want him because of the Darksaber, because of the way he treated them
He's still alive.
I think he's still alive. I think they have him. But now back to Elia Kane, I don't think she's taking directives from Moff Gideon. So if not Moff Gideon, then who? Thrawn. Flat out, I'm right. Yeah. I mean, everyone knows. I mean, there are articles. It's not a difficult thing to kind of figure out. I'm glad that they still have the Moff Gideon piece floating around. So mm-hmm. on first glance, you might think, well, I mean, okay, like it's just Moff Gideon until you get to this episode.
Yeah.
Then you're like, no. If you were ever leaning towards it being Thrawn or someone greater, someone far out there, it's there's your confirmation. The other thing it could be, and I don't think Thrawn. Sorry to derail this conversation for a little bit, but I want to go down this path for a second, because Thrawn does not, in the books anyways, people aren't like killing themselves or offing themselves to protect Thrawn and his secrets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That isn't something that he wanted for his officers underneath him. It seems like a really serious top secret group that I'm wondering who's at the tippy top of it. Is it still Palpatine and his clones or the acolytes or someone from Exegol, you know, the Sith Eternal, because they are the radicals. They are super devoted to this cloning technology and this program.
Right.
The only thing that kind of mixes all this up a little bit is the fact that Thrawn also in Legends was closely connected with the Imperial Remnant and with cloning technology as well.
Yeah.
So now in new canon, it's hard to kind of tell. It's kind of hard to sift out like mm-hmm. who this could be. But the way they react and the way that Elia Kane is so devoted to this cause still and taking directive, it feels like it's something Sith. And Thrawn is not Sith. He's not related to the... He's working for his people in a completely different capacity. And I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the day if he's one of those, like, not a hero, but what he was doing in his own way was good for the galaxy and good for his people. Like, Thrawn, his people in the book, they have a secret ceremony. One of their highest, most, like... honorable ceremonies that they have with the great houses, and they bring Thrawn in and they give him a new name, and it means guardian. He's their guardian. And so I'm reading this going, holy, we don't know Thrawn half as well as we think we do.
No.
And you get that backstory with his people, and in the unknown region, and you have all these different, like the Grisk, and you've got other pirate factions and other groups out there that could be pose a threat, and it feels like there's something behind even that threat. There's something looming out there that he is trying to understand. There's Skywalkers, which are their navigators. They kind of, there's also a disturbance among them a little bit. It feels like something is cutting them off from the force. You know, why do they stop at a certain age? There's lots of pieces. There's lots of variables out there with the Chiss Ascendancy and Thrawn. So I just wanted to say all that because I feel like So Elia Kane is either being directed by Thrawn or these Sith acolytes. I don't think it's Moff Gideon. I mean, it can't be, unless it's someone who's just loyal to Moff Gideon, like his second in command.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We haven't met yet, or maybe she's more than we think she is, you know, maybe she's heading some insurgency situation, and she's trying to fight for what she believes in.
Do you sometimes get impatient with everything that's still out there and still, you know, needs to be covered or resolved.
I will tell you that I will probably come to tears when they bring Ezra Bridger back in whatever capacity it is that they bring him back. I have waited so many years. You know, I almost started a blog called Where Is Ezra? Like, I almost when I was creating blogs and I was trying to figure out like how to get into blogging a little bit, I thought about creating one called Where Is Ezra?
Oh my goodness.
And just constantly running theories on it. Because you can go and so the more that has come out with Mandalorian, the more I was like, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I could have done this for years. I could have written articles theorizing about where he's at and what is going down. And now there's these tidbits with Ahsoka and everything. So yes, I am very patient. You know, that's the Jedi will teach you patience, right? Okay, you've gotta have patience. It's been good. It's been a really good ride. It's been a good build. It's been a good creative project for them. And they're building this Mandoverse. I'm telling you, these guys know what they're doing because they're weaving together some old Star Wars stuff with some new Star Wars stuff. And they're building the best of both worlds. They're giving you good hero journeys and good arcs inside of arcs. Like it's well built and it's good, flat out good storytelling. Yes. I don't care. I know it was slow for patches there in season one. I had some people telling me like they were out on it because it was a little bit slow, and I was like, okay, maybe, but like it's a TV show. They are definitely trying to do something different here. And there are inside of those stories, like just last episode when they go to save the foundling, this is just a rescue mission. It's just a rescue mission. That's awesome. You get some connection to This Is the Way. You get some connection to who is the war leader and who gets to sit by the fire. All that stuff is really cool, and it's building out this ancient way of Mandalore. That is fun. So I think they're doing a great job. And I that's a great question. I know people want it. They want it now. They want all of it. But it's the journey and it's the ride that is so good.
You're right. Like I do love that they connect the new characters to the old characters. They've learned, like Ahsoka. The whole backstory that I have not seen yet, really, just bits and pieces here and there, with Anakin, and then also now Grogu has been trained by Luke, so and they will carry on the
story,
legacies.
Their legacy, basically. Well, Bo-Katan here, right? So again, around since the Clone Wars, since the time of the Clone Wars, and then continued on into Rebels, and then continued like they went off grid during the Galactic Civil War, like during episodes 4, 5, and 5, which Galactic Civil War is long, or it's longer than that, but you guys know what I'm talking about. So she kind of goes off grid, reemerges now, and the Mandalorians are coming back together, and they're reemerging, and she's this thread through that helps tie us back to all that stuff. You know, Grogu as well, like he's tying us back to fill in holes. See, that's the genius of this, is that they've created characters. I've always thought that the droids were really important, like R2, C-3PO. They're really important because they're there in episode one.
Yeah.
And they tie us all the way through to episode 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
All the way through with Rey, you know, and so they know the story. George Lucas's mind, they outlived everybody. And years and years and years later, they told a story about a long time ago.
Yeah.
R2 is the one telling the story. So that, I mean, when you have characters like Grogu who can stretch the timeline and who can live through all of that, and we're watching him experience this, and we know he's going to grow older, everyone's theorizing that, oh, he's going to go to Luke's Academy and he's going to die. No, he left Luke's Academy. That was the big thing. People were like, I can't believe they would send Grogu to Luke's Academy. Now he's just going to die when Kylo Ren takes over and destroys the temple. No, clearly not. He is back with Daddy Din.
Yeah.
And that is not the case. So he did train with him for a time, which is why I believe Luke Skywalker is training other people right now. I wouldn't be surprised at all. He trained his sister. She put down her lightsaber. He trained other individuals, whoever they may be, if it's going to be Qoran Horn or if it's going to be Kip Duran or some of these other Legends characters that they could bring back. They're adults that only need a little bit of training, and then they're out doing their thing, and they become Jedi-like individuals. Yeah. They can do all of that still, and it's still open to that. But you're right, that it's like the tie-throughs, the tie-back to Clone Wars and Rebels is what is getting us. And also, if it's brand new for you, if Mandalorian is like something that you're just now getting exposed to, and you love it, and you go back and watch it, even as you get older and stuff like that, if you're a kid right now, you're going to wonder, who are all these freaking characters?
Yeah.
Who's this Zeb character everyone's freaking out? Why are the Purgles so important? And then, you know, who is Bo-Katan really? And you go back and you dig into those stories.
Yeah.
So, for me, it is like, they are flat out knocking this out of the park. So, yeah. Yeah.
Did you know I didn't really... I used to not really like Bo-Katan a whole lot.
I know.
And now...
Grows on you, doesn't
that, she? The last bit of this episode where she just... The music hits and she's just like...
Yeah.
Okay, I got this.
I got this.
You know, that's... Mm-hmm. It's her destiny. Like,
it is.
She is... She's going to bring the Mandalorians together.
Yeah.
And she's been... It's not been an easy journey for her.
No.
She's always been like, rejected, but like, rejected kind of by the Darksaber. And she's never, other people had to have it before her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's, because her journey was not over, she was not ready yet. And she needs to go through all this.
Yeah.
To be.
That's her journey. Yes, yeah. You're right. Like it said, that is her arc, which is you had to go and endure all of these things.
Yeah.
And she's never successfully been able to unify Mandalore, and you hear her say that like that's what she wants. Mm-hmm. And she's grown to realize, like, first she's walking, so as the armorer says, has walked in two worlds, has walked two ways, and could bring and unite these two groups together.
Yeah,
because she's been on that side, now she's been on this side, and she's heard them talk about the code and talk about honor and doing things that far exceed just like revenge on Moff Gideon. Yeah. Or you know, becoming a new powerhouse in the galaxy, or leading through simply owning and possessing a saber, right? Yeah. Like the it's more than that. And she says that to Din in this very in the beginning of this season. She's like, take that dark saber, wave it around, and any of them will follow you. That's just how simple minded they are. If you've got that, they'll follow. And that's upsetting to her, because there's got to be something more. Yeah. And she finds that with the armor in that other group.
Yeah, and the reason why the armor believed her so much was she went and rescued Din. Mm-hmm. While she did that, she saw some Mythosaur.
Yeah, Mythosaur. Yes.
And that's what made the armor go like, whoa.
She's chosen.
That's her.
Yeah. She is. It's a sign that she was waiting for and recognized and realized she's telling the truth. They did go back. I didn't believe, even the armor didn't believe that it was possible to go back to Mandalore and to bathe in the living waters. They all said that the apostate was, there's no way, he's lying. Oh, you have a witness? Sure. Oh, you've got a water sample? Sure. And then she's like, sure enough, they did.
Yeah.
And so where the covert fell short was, they didn't believe those things were possible. They were short-sighted almost in terms of their goals and their ambitions. They're just in hiding. They were forever going to be in hiding, living out this ancient, but believing in this way. And it has led them to basically, like, through Din believing in this and then him encountering Bo, like this whole journey has brought her into the way and exposed her to it. And so it's just been a really good, I don't know, mix of all. Let me say this.
Yeah.
If I could, you wouldn't have to pay me. I want no money for this whatsoever. I will dedicate my time. If I could just sit in the council of Dave Filoni, Jon Favreau, Deborah Chow, the other creators, people who are working on this, and just banter back and forth and talk with the same things we're doing right now, which is finding, that's what they have to do. Find all of these themes. They're figuring out, like, what does it mean to walk the way? Yeah. How will that influence Bo? How will that, you know, change her? They walk through all of that. And that's where I'm like, my God, if I could just sit there and just be someone to listen to them and just talk, and not that I'm in anything whatsoever, but like, you wouldn't have to pay me a dime for that. That is such gold conversation, such good storytelling, it's so good for a universe that I love. You know, I love the Star Wars universe, and to see them taking this great care and making it feel connected and for us, for fans, to go find those connections, it's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and they're rewarding fans who read the books, who, I mean, not like you have to read every single freaking book or whatever, but like, if you have read some of these things, there's a little Easter egg in there for you.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been following the story of R5 for a while, that you got a pretty big Easter egg reveal this episode.
Yes.
You know, if you know anything about the Mythosaur and you understand it's how it was connected to the Mandalorians, when you saw that, you were like, holy smokes, this is wild. So all of that. If you watch Rebels, like we've said, you knew that they didn't say Zeb, did they? They didn't mention his name whatsoever.
I don't think so.
Not at all. And so you just knew that is him. And we're like, okay, it's awesome. So yeah, for me, I am just so thankful If I could just say thankful, if I could just say thanks to those guys, that's probably how I'd be talking to them. I would be like stuttering through my stuff. Hey guys, thanks so much. that's all I could really get out. But man, I just feel, as an Ezra, I feel like really good about the future of Ezra and the future of Din Djarin and Grogu and Star Wars. I just feel like this is the way, this is the direction, and it is just awesome. Because I think John has already written season 4. Like, they've already kind of figured out season 4 and where they want to go with all of this. So.
Well, that's good. good to know.
Yeah, which was great.
But talking about the future, what do you think? Next episode, what do you think where we're going?
Where we're going? Yeah. So it feels like she is now, so Bo-Katan clearly is going to go back to the group she was with prior, right?
We don't know where that would be, right?
No, she talked about a fleet being like that they took some of the vessels that they had taken from the Empire, that they had acquired a small fleet, possibly, and there was this group. So, again, she returned to them without acquiring the Darksaber. Wasn't going to fight Din for it. Luke Skywalker shows up, so that's all ruined. She goes back, and they're like, wow, you can't even acquire the Darksaber, right? And you couldn't even really bring Moff Gideon in. He's given over to the New Republic. So they're upset with her. So she's now going to have to, like, earn her way back into their good graces, sort of, right? And be, she's probably going to go back in there, put her helmet on, and start walking the way of the ancient way of Mandalore. Be an example to them, I think, and someone who has walked both worlds, but will take some of what she has learned from this secret covert and go there and try to influence them and figure it all out. But Moff Gideon will be there. I think Moff Gideon's showing up next episode.
Yeah.
He's with them. They've got him. They're torturing him, or he's their prisoner, and I don't know what they're doing with him, but they've got him. So that is where she's going next, and we'll kind of figure out how they move beyond this one man, you know? Mm-hmm. This one person who destroyed their people. How do you as a people move on? And not keep living in this revenge mode or this like, I don't even know. Like they're just so, they're definitely wanting to like repay old debts to the Empire, the Imperial Remnant and things like that. So Moff Gideon and his group, they're very much going to be aggressors against them. How do you, you know, get them beyond that? Because that's short-sighted. Yeah. They need to look to their own homeworld. They need to look to their own people. And she'll start to kind of, I think, get them geared up for that. Now, the other thing that's going to happen, I think, is something is going on in the New Republic. Why would they cover this up? All the records that
it's classified.
Classified. Captain Teva comes across all this different stuff, and it is classified. It's rumored that he got away. He never made it to trial. There was a trial, so the Mandalorians break him out. Why wouldn't they like make that? Why isn't that something that they? Was there some sort of like offering where they were kind of like, you know what, we're not going to say anything. We're going to sacrifice this ship and this whatever. You guys can take them, and we're not going to pursue you guys in that. Or is there something more? I really can't figure out what's going on, because something also was going on with this group of Imperials that have given themselves up and are going in for rehabilitation. Right there, like Alaya is one of them, and I feel like she's not alone in terms of people who are in the New Republic, who are wanting to, who are agents, secret agents in there that are supplying information out to either Thrawn, Gideon, or Gideon's people, or whoever, or Sith acolytes, who freaking knows, the First Order, perhaps. And there's a group in there. We're going to learn more about that as well. And she's just the face of that group right now, which is wild.
Yeah.
Whether we're going to get any more stuff with Ahsoka, or I don't think so. I don't think we're going to get anything with, like, Luke necessarily, unless they're back at the New Republic and you see Luke Skywalker forming relations with the New Republic, which would be kind of cool. He did not, though. I mean, like, it seems like he's gone and created his own temple and is training his own Jedi to just be independent of the New Republic, but maybe not. Maybe he was more involved with them, and we're not really sure. Because they are, what the New Republic is doing now is they're destroying the old Imperial ships. They're destroying their Alliance ships. What happens in the sequels is that the Resistance, Leia, General Organa, will create a Resistance fleet, because the New Republic has basically gone back to a time of peace, and they have, what's the word? they've gotten rid of all their weapons, all their ships, yeah. and they've tried to make themselves a more peaceful governing body. They still have patrols, and they still have, you know, a security force or right. whatever, but it's not a war fleet that can go around and just hurt other individuals. Like there's mm-hmm. a big debate about, like, should they bring that back, or should the individual systems have their own fleets and their own armies and their own resources to protect their own system? Because then if it's all centralized with the New Republic, they then sort of pick, like, okay, we need to protect that planet over this planet. You saw that today, yeah. which is like, we yeah. have a backlog of requests from these charter planets that they need protection and intervention, but we're backlogged. Yeah. We can't even help all those people out. So those people are like, well, why are we going to wait on the New Republic to come help us? Why don't we help ourselves?
Yeah.
And you start to see the politics of what's going on. Genius.
Yeah.
Freaking genius, by the way, that they're doing that. That's clever. And that's even, like, I remember Corellia in some of the old Legends books, like, it was an independent system and it was, like, building up its military, but they're also, like, the, I guess it was maybe the Galactic Alliance back in the day, was, they were called something different, right? And they were trying to get them to join up, or to, they were watching them because they were growing. They were a growing, not threat, but I mean, they were a growing military power. Corellia is where they got a lot of their vessels and ships yeah. and stuff. So anyway, just freaking, my mind is honestly just blown this episode because yeah. of all the different stuff. So, and then we got Celebration next week, so we're going to be getting all sorts of, you know, cool stuff. We're going to have a guest back on next week yeah. for Mandalorian. Good friend yeah. Cameron will be
we
on.
I feel like for the Celebration week, they would, again, plan out a really good episode to drop that week, right?
Oh, so yeah, it's going to be Wednesday. Yeah. It's gonna, so that'll be episode 6, and then there'll be episode 7, 8 after that, right? Yeah. So it's going to be a good one.
Oh, they're going to bring out the last two episodes after. And one the same week.
No, I said next week is gonna be episode 5, right?
Yeah.
So next week is episode 6.
Yeah.
Right before Celebration. Yeah. And then after that we'll have two more episodes.
That's what I'm saying. Like yeah. mm-hmm. two at the same time that drop.
No.
No, okay, so 2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So next week we're gonna have episode 6, and then the week after that is once Celebration is over, we will have two more episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're gonna be dropping other stuff about the Ahsoka series, the movies that are coming out,
yeah.
all these different things. So Bad Batch is going on. We haven't even seen mm-hmm. Bad Batch yet today, yep. so we're going to have to watch that and figure out what's happening there. But we wanted to get this out quick and just give you guys our initial reactions and our thoughts and, you know, yeah. maybe see what you guys think. It was this hitting home for you? I don't know. It is just, it's been yeah. fantastic to see what they're doing.
I'm still waiting on Grogu having, whether it's this season or any other season after this, I want Grogu to have like a good Gohan moment where
he just
steps up. And I mean, we saw him step up a little bit when he went to get Bo-Katan to save Daddy.
Yeah.
But yeah. I want him on it. No one expects that. He's just been learning along the way. He's just been observing, trying some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He remembers his training with Luke.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah. When is he going to have
one day he's going to step up and everyone's going to be like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Do want to give a quick shout out to my buddy Andrew, who, by the way, is one of our patrons, one of our Jedi Masters. Thank you guys for supporting the podcast. And I'm excited. We're going to be doing a big live stream next week. So for Celebration on Friday, I think Thursday or Friday, I'm going to have Cameron on. We'll do our Mandalorian reaction and then we'll be just live online. I'm going to send a link out to all those folks. If they want to join and pop in just to kind of do a hangout, we're going to have some blue drinks and everything.
I'm Googling yeah. right now. What kind of
Star Wars
blue drinks there is, recipes.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make some good shorts, some good TikToks. We'll have those bad boys steaming. I'm even setting up my backdrop here a little bit, ordering some stuff, getting ready for that. But thanks to Andrew, who said, hey, I'm excited for the show. Need to rewatch the series to get up to snuff on everything. Been a little bit lax on Bad Batch, just barely watching it, but he's keeping up here and there. So. Which is good. So he said he enjoyed the Meg episode where he had Meg on from Dork Side of the Force. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, he's looking to rewatch and get into talking about Mandalorian soon. So hopefully we'll have him in and maybe he can give his reactions. And then anybody else who is out there on our, like Arna or somebody else, maybe we'll get them, you know, roped in here and get them on the mics, get them fired up. Yes. I want to know their thoughts because they have such different takes on Star Wars than I do. And I love that. I love to bring on different takes, different yeah. opinions. And we will see if we can get some of those folks in here. So, yeah, it's been great.
Sounds good.
It's been great, guys. I'm tired right now. I'm just like, I'm in Cloud City right now, like on a huge high cloud. Wonderful. So, all right. that is all for this week. We'll be back with some Bad Batch. Again, send your thoughts over on Instagram to Star Wars Hangout 77. I check that pretty regularly. Also, the Gmail is still open, so you guys can send them over there, StarWarsHangout77@gmail.com. John, Dave Filoni, if you guys ever need anything, whatever. You don't have to. I want nothing in return. All right. I just literally, if you ever need anything, whatever it may be, hit a little us up. I'm so like on this train ride with them. It's wild. Yeah. We're like, oh my gosh. Lottie just looked up an amazing looking drink. It's got some blue, some red. That's in a nice Mandalorian mug. That's what we might need to do.
This is the way.
Yeah, we need
Tatooine Sunset.
Tatooine Sunset. So, you know what? We'll get some of... I have the old... Oh, did I throw out those ice cube trays? Doggone it. What is wrong with me?
Well, it's okay. We can't even see the ice cubes. It's more important to have the right glasses.
That's true. But it's also nice to know that you've got like a little X-Wing ice cube going on in there. Anyway. All right, friends. Hey, come back next week. If you guys have ever wanted to pop on and chat with Ol Ez, that for Star Wars Celebration, that will be the time. We'll be going live. Got the internet all fired up, and I'm excited for that. So that will be the time to get in here. We'll do our first sort of kind of hang out with our patrons, talk about Celebration. It's going to be freaking sick. And we'll go from there. So I almost don't want to end the episode. I'm sort of like having too much fun. But we got to. We love you guys. Thank you so much. And as always, remember, this is the way.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.